For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 7th, 2000. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Nelf, Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the afternoon.
Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Would y'all stand and pray with me, please?
Yes.
Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Oh, dear Lord, we love you. We love you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. And give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Ask for an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord God. Oh, just ask for an outpouring of your Spirit this afternoon, of your Spirit of grace, deliverance, and healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to touch this teaching, Lord. Let your anointing be upon it, that it will go down in the hearts and will bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. Thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, me, I can sit down. Today, give you sort of a potpourri, really. You know, let's turn to, it's terrible when you, God gives you something and he doesn't tell you where it is. And you, didn't you say, well, now, Lord, what is that? And you know, just about, but you don't seem to see it. I'm looking for the parable of the soils, and it's in Luke. Here it is, chapter 8. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you look at the parable of the soils here? And it says here, the sower went out to sow his seed. Verse 5, Luke chapter 8, verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and was trampled down, the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, but as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon the thorns that sprang up and choked it, but others fell on good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. You drop down to verse 11, and he interprets it. And the wayside, the ones which hear, then the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart, lest they believe and be saved. Elsewhere it says, the heart is hard and does not understand. And so these are unsaved people. Okay. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root, who believe for a while, but in time of temptation, they fall away. Let's look back over Matthew 13 now. Verse 19 said, he who hears the word of the kingdom does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches it away. And he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, and endures only for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And, of course, the one that receives it among the thorns is that good, saved Christian, but he has another God, and he turns after the world. But I want to talk about the one that spells on stony places, that where you can't get an adequate root. There's a lot of rocks in the soil, and there's not much dirt. There's not much soil. There's a lot of rocks in there. And so the root doesn't go down very far. And that's, those are the people who have been offended. And they have got these offenses in their heart. And they're like big rocks in there. And they have the offense of unforgiveness, the offense of self-pity, the offense of bitterness. And these offenses, a particular bitterness and self-pity, just grow. And so they receive a word and they begin to stand on it, and then tribulation comes. And they say, why me, Lord?
Oh, oh, me, why is this happening to me? And they fall away. And the next thing you know, they're not working with God anymore. And they're mad, and their bitterness is just deepened. They're the people that have the rocks in their heart. And these rocks are the demons of unforgiveness, bitterness, self-pity, defilement, anger, rage. And they're all sitting in there. And they keep the word from taking root. And they keep you from growing as a Christian. They keep you in one place. And every time you get offended, you stumble and you fall. And you may go back out in the world for a while. Today we're going to talk about those rocks. And we're going to look at the rock of unforgiveness first. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I think all of you are aware that God says you have to forgive. Now, what does forgive mean? Webster's Dictionary of Forgive is to give up resentment against, give up desire to punish, stop being angry with, or pardon. That's the first definition. The second one is to give up all claim to punish, or give up all claim to revenge for an offense, to overlook. And the third one is to cancel a debt. You know, when you forgive a debt, you just cancel it. You say, you don't owe me anymore. Forget about it. And forgiveness is to cancel the need for revenge. Say, I don't want any revenge. I don't want you to suffer because of this sin that you did to me. I had a little lady I was ministering to once. And she had real bad arthritis. And we were talking to her, and I was talking to her about unforgiveness, and she said, no, no, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't have any. I'm not mad. I've forgiven everybody. And we talked on for a while, and her family said to her, what about Aunt Susie? And her countenance changed, and she began to scowl a little bit. She said, I've forgiven Aunt Susie. God is going to punish Aunt Susie. He can get her better than I ever can. I'm just waiting to see what he's going to do to her. I said, Doug, sound like you forgiven Aunt Susie. And she said, oh, yes, I forgive her. I'm going to let God get her. And I said, don't you understand? To give up. To forgive means you cancel the debt, you give up the right to revenge or hoping for revenge. And so we talked for a while, and she agreed that she would pray for Aunt Susie to get healed, for Aunt Susie to get saved. And so she began to pray for her, and she began to pray that God would really touch Aunt Susie and touch her life and bring her to salvation. And so as she did, the thing lifted off of her. And she said that she'd pray every morning for Aunt Susie that God would bless her. And as she did, the arthritis in her fingers began to straighten. And when she saw that, she said she'd pray for Aunt Susie every day. I never saw the little old lady again, so I don't know that whether she fulfilled the vow to God or not. To forgive means that you really have to cancel the debt. Now, I look at it as a gift of repentance, that you're able to repent from revenge, to really turn away as a gift from God. You know, I was always taught that forgiveness was an act of the will, where you say, I forgive them, and you move on. But, you know, I would do that, and I'd be sitting there, and that it would sort of come back up occasionally. And sometimes I'd get downright depressed over it. And sometimes I'd find myself fantasizing as to how I was going to get even with them. And sometimes I'd fantasize on what I should have said that would have turned it the other way. And am I the only one that had problems like that? And I begin to believe, but understand that I hadn't really forgiven. And then God said, if you will allow me to touch you with the gift of repentance and refuse to entertain those thoughts when they come up. I will release, you will be released from this. And so, as an act of my will, I said, I forgive. I said, God, give me the spirit of repentance. And I refused to entertain those thoughts when they came up. When I bound that fantasy spirit, when it would come up and whisper in my ear, I just bound it and I refused to entertain those thoughts anymore. And I said, when they came up, I start getting on my knees and start praying for them and ask God to bless them. And God said, if you will really get on your knees and pray for me to bless them, you will be released. And I found that when I did this, that I could really pray with compassion for my enemies, that I was released from the desire for revenge, released from the fantasy. I was able just to bind it and go away. And so, one of the major rocks in the soul is unforgiveness. And you need to repent of unforgiveness. Repent of wanting revenge. Repent of wanting your own way. And he said, well, what if he stole from me? Doesn't the scripture say, and you'd rather be robbed? So just give it to him. If he asks you for your coat, give him your cloak also. If he says to carry my pack a mile, carry it 2 miles. Go the extra mile and pray. And God is the avenger. You know, vengeance belongs to God. Mercy and forgiveness belong to God. Daniel 9:9 says, Daniel 9:9 says, mercy and forgiveness belong to God. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance belongs to God, along with Leviticus 19:18 and Deuteronomy 32:35 say that vengeance belonged to God. And Jesus forgave from the cross, and our actions should follow his example, and we should pray for our enemies. And that's listed in Matthew 5:43-45, Luke 27-28, Luke 6:27-28. And the example of praying for our enemies is goes forth in Job 42:7-10. And Job prayed for his accusers. I won't go into the story of Job. All of you are familiar with Job. But when Job was able to pray for his accusers, God said, you take a sacrifice to Job and have him pray for you, and I won't judge you according to your foolishness. So Job's three comforters, who for 40 chapters had accused him of being unrighteous, went to Job, and Job prayed for them, and God healed them. And then God accepted Job's prayers, and then God healed Job. God healed Job. He restored the captive Job. He healed his sores. He restored all his losses to him. And he had twice as much as he did before. Those are rewards for praying for your enemies. Abraham, on the other hand, you know the story of Abraham in Genesis 20. Abraham had been wandering across the desert. God had promised him a son some 13, 15 years before, and they had tried to fulfill it in the flesh, and the Ishmael was the answer. God said, that's not the promise. It's going to be a miracle child out of Sarah. And God kept waiting. Abraham kept waiting. It didn't come forth. Sarah was restored in body. Although she was 90 years old, a sheik or king took her into his harem. And God appeared to him and said, you know, that's my prophet's wife you've got. And I'm going to kill you if you don't turn her loose. And the king, he took her back to Abraham with a trespass offering and said, pray for me, because God has closed all the wombs of all the women in my palace, and nobody's having babies anymore. So Abraham prayed for him, and God opened their wombs. And then chapter 21, verse 1 says, then God visited Sarah, and the promised child came forth. You can tie the two together? I do. You know, the chapters are artificial. They're not in the original. They were put there in the Geneva Bible so it would be easy to find Scripture. They've only been there for 500, 600 years. Before that, there was no chapter and verse division. And so God visited Abraham, visited Sarah. So those are two good examples. There are several others of God blessing you after you have prayed for your enemies, prayed for someone who's wronged you badly. I think stealing a man's wife, that's taken her by force, scared Abraham so bad, said, "No, she ain't my wife, she's my sister, don't kill me." So, to forgive, you need to pray for your enemies. Now, so this major rock there is unforgiveness. And so once you have passed the hurdle of unforgiveness, and you're able to pray for your enemies, then you look at the rock of bitterness, and the rock of rebellion and stubbornness. Now let's look at 1 Samuel. Well, bitterness comes from the Old English. It means it's an Old English base of biting or bite, and something that has a sharp or unpleasant taste, or something that causes sore, discomfort, pain, is grievous, and is generally characterized by strong feelings of hatred. Now, those are the Webster's definitions. And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here, Samuel has come to Saul, and Saul has incompletely followed the Word of God. Saul has done part of what God told him to, but didn't do it all. And Samuel is rebuking him. He said, "But I did. I kept the Word of God." And so Samuel says to him in verse 22, Has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of God?" Remember I said that to obey the voice of God brought blessings, to disobey it brought curses. And when you obey the voice of God, God's holy angels bring the blessings. And they will chase you down the road and overtake you. If you disobey the voice of God, then the evil angels bring the curses. Okay. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams." In other words, God says if he tells you to do something and you don't want to do it, then taking a big offering down to church and putting it in the offering basket is not going to placate God. You can't buy God off with money. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry." Well, what does that have to do with rebellion? What does rebellion have to do with bitterness? Rebellion in this word here comes from the Hebrew word mara. And that's a root word, the root of that, and it means bitter. And the alternate translation in Strong's Concordance is bitter. The number is 4784 if you want to look it up. And iniquity is rebellion in all its equal consequences. And so you see, stubbornness and rebellion are about the same thing. Stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And witchcraft is a type of idolatry. And so rebellion is equivalent to bitterness. If you stay rebellious, you will get bitter. If you stay bitter, you will rebel. Witchcraft is the attempt to control people or natural events by supernatural means. Witchcraft, by definition, is with a compact with evil, with demonic powers. By Webster's dictionary definition. You have to look under magic to find it. It's a division of magic, but it's there. And it's by definition, it's a compact with demonic powers. Now, rebellion can be defined as intimidation, manipulation, both of which equal domination. Men being larger and stronger tend to intimidate. Women being smaller and not as physically strong tend to manipulate. But the end result is they dominate someone. And how is this related to rebellion? It means you're rebelling against the order that God has set and trying to manipulate it to your own benefit. God has raised up all authority. Now, rebellion by definition is one who rises up against authority. And so when you rise up against the authority that God has established in rebellion, then you are trying to change it, and you change it either by manipulation or intimidation. And that's the reason God says it's a sin of witchcraft. Okay. Now, let's look at iniquity. Iniquity is rebellion in all its evil consequences. If you look at Psalm 66:18, you say that someone who bears an iniquity in their heart, God won't hear them. And you compare that to Isaiah 59:1, which says the same thing, and 1 John 3:22. You can compare with those two. We won't go into them. You can go back and read them. But I do want you to, Psalm 68:6 says, rebellious will dwell in a dry land. Now look at Proverbs 17:11. I want you to open your Bibles and look at that. Proverbs 17:11, we covered this last week also. An evil man seeks only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger or angel will be sent against him. We'll come back to that. Since rebellion now is the outward sign of rejection. Rejection is the feeling of being rejected or unwanted, coming into you, and coming out of you in response to that will be rebellion. I'll show you that in Scripture. Let's look at Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16 is a prophet by the old, is a prophecy given by Ezekiel. And it says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, know Jerusalem to call her abomination. Now, all Old Testament prophecy has two fulfillments. It generally has an immediate fulfillment, but it generally has a fulfillment into the future. And all Old Testament prophecy was given in type and shadow. New Testament prophecy generally is direct. Old Testament prophecy was given with type and shadow. Now, there are allegories in the New Testament. For instance, in Galatians, Paul says there are two Jerusalems. The Jerusalem of Mount Sinai is a Jerusalem of bondage and is the home of Hagar and her bondage. The Jerusalem above is the mother of us all, of the church. John says the new Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. Hello, bride. Okay. You're the new Jerusalem. What does the prophet here project into the future about Jerusalem? He said, Jerusalem, you know what? For thus says the Lord God, Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity from the land of Cana. Now, Cana means rejected and despised. Before you were saved, your birthright was one of rejection. It says your father was an Amorite, which means pride, and your mother was a Hittite, which means terror. And so with rejection comes in pride and fear. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, you were not washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor swathed in swaddling. No eye pitied you to do any of these things on you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown into an open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. Now that is absolute rejection. And that's where you were. And then what happened? Jesus passed by. He said, I saw you struggling with your own blood. And I said to you, live. Yes, you in your blood. And I said, look, he saw you before the foundation of the earth, and he chose you. You were chosen. You were elected and chosen by God's foreknowledge before the foundation of the earth. It says that in 1 Peter, and it says that in Ephesians. And he said, I said to you, live. I made you thrive like a plant in a field. You grew, mature, became very beautiful. Your breasts were warm. Your hair grew, and you were naked and bare. And when I passed by again, looked upon you, I saw you. It was a time for love, and I spread my wing over you, or covered you with the corner of my garment. And yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord. And so the day of salvation, he came by and he saw you, and your soul was naked. You had no covering. He covered your soul with the corner of his garment. The other translation is he covered you with his wing. You remember in Psalm 91, it says, under his wing you shall take refuge, under his feathers and under his wing. Jesus said in Matthew, how often I'd wish to gather you like a hen gathers the chicks under her wing. And so he covered you. You remember when Ruth went to Boaz on the threshing floor? Ruth. Boaz was Ruth's redeemer kinsman. And she said, Boaz, cover me with your wing. Take me under your wing, or cover me with your garment. And he did. And he married him. He said to him, perform for me my legal right as a widow in Israel. You are the redeemer kinsman. You are my near kinsman. Jesus Christ is your redeemer kinsman. He is the only one that could redeem you out of the hand of the enemy. In Leviticus, it says, if there's a man who has a woman who has managed their affairs so poorly that they've been sold into slavery to a foreigner, then their near kinsman, who is able, will go and redeem them. And they shall be unto him for a servant until the day of the Jubilee. Jubilee hadn't come yet. It's coming. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've become his love slave. But he has vowed to protect you and provide for you and care for you because you are like his little brother and sister. He had put forth the spirit of adoption, and he's adopted you into the family of God. And you're no longer rejected. But your birthright was rejection. It came into you before you were saved, and you need to get rid of it. The outward sign of rejection is rebellion. Now, praise. And rebellion and witchcraft and bitterness are all the same thing, according to Scripture. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And rebellion and bitterness are fueled by pride and stubbornness. Let's look in Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, 16 and 17. But your fathers acted proudly and hardened their neck and became stubborn. And did not obey and rebel. They refused to obey. They were not one mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but to harden their necks as they did in the rebellion. Appoint a leader to return to their bondage. Often do y'all decide that you're going, it's just too tough to be a Christian. I'm just going to go back out in the world. Proud, you hadn't gotten rid of the pride and the rocks of pride and stubbornness and rebellion and bitterness, and you just say it, and you're hanging on to those things because you won't forgive. And when tribulation comes, you just say, oh, I'm just going, it's just too tough. I'm just going to go back to my friends at the bar. Or what I need is just another drink. Need to smoke another cigarette. Need to find somebody to love me. Maybe I can find one down at the bar. Go down for a beer and a pickup. I'll feel better tomorrow. Praise God. I'm afraid that happens more often than we like to admit. Okay. Now, results of bitterness, it produces defilement. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest the root of bitterness springing up defile you. It interferes with the husband-wife relationship. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter with them. Now, the NIV says, don't rule over them with anguish. Another translation, I can't remember which one, says, don't rule over them with rigor. Love your wives. Don't be bitter with them or produce bitterness in them or be harsh with them, because those things will produce bitterness in your wife. You need to love your wife like Jesus loves the church. You love to die for it. Like your own body. I mean, you love your own body so much you're going to take a hammer and hit your toe real hard when you get mad. Huh? I mean, you know, that's what you do when you go assault your wife, you know, and pick out some little something that's wrong and just rant and rave. I mean, you just hurt. No, why don't you go hit your toe with a hammer? I mean, you're not going to do that, so you shouldn't beat on your wife. Okay, praise you, Lord Jesus. Abuse of authority produces bitterness. In Colossians 3:1, 3:19 says the same thing. Okay. It says, Jesus. Exodus 1:13-14 says, the taskmasters ruled over the Hebrews and made their lives bitter with hard bondage. And anger produces bitterness, and it makes you unable to hear the word of God. Because Moses and Aaron went to them and said, this is the word of God, but they could not hear it because of the shortness of the bitterness in their spirit. Couldn't hear God's word. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Y'all never said anything like that, have you? Just me. Praise the Lord. Now look at Matthew 5:22-25. This portion of Scripture always wondered about it. But God showed me this interpretation of it. Matthew 5:21. You have heard it said to those of old, you do not murder, but whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Okay. What if you got a cause? Well, I'm reading Matthew 5:21. Okay. I did. I said 21. Okay. Alrighty. But whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift before the altar and go your way. Be first reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Now, remember, I read that to you in Samuel. He says, is God more pleased with an offering than obeying the word of God? Well, here we are again. He says, if you are angry with your brother, God, your brother's got something against you, be reconciled, okay, with your brother. Now, does that mean that if it's his fault, I got to go try to make it right when he did it? Yeah, that's what it means. It means that you go try to settle it. And if he wants to put the blame on you, fine. Just try to settle it. It says, you know, had you not rather be robbed? Your brother asked for the cloak, give him the coat, ask for you. Take the thing a mile, take it 2 miles. As much as it depends, Romans 12 says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone, if at all possible. Now, I had a friend who wronged me. I felt she did not do me very well. But looking back over it, I have to take part of the responsibility for it. But I went to him and tried to straighten the matter. I tried to make the matter right. And I told him I was sorry. Was there anything that I could do? What could I do to make it right? And he stared me in the face. And he used the words for SOB. And it didn't mean sweet old broadcaster either. He said, I'm going to get you for this, and I'm going to get you again and again and again. Now, people, that's a sick individual. I mean, that's a sad. I said, I'm terribly sorry you feel that way. I'll do anything I can to make it right. If I can make it right, let me know. And I left, and when he had his first hip replaced, I went to the hospital and stood by his bed and prayed for him and asked God to heal him. When he had his second hip replaced, I went to the hospital and I prayed for him. When he had both his knees replaced for his arthritis, I went to the hospital and I prayed for him. This is over a 10-year period now. And he's still going to get me. But he accepts me praying for him. He says, oh, I appreciate you come by, pray for me. But he's still going to get me, you see. Now he's had his fingers replaced. And the last time I prayed for him, I said, are you still holding that? See, anyway, and you could see the clouds. I had a chance, but I'm going to get you. And I just smiled and said, I love you, brother. I love you. May God bless you. And come on. And I know that he is out there like a black widow spider, just looking for a chance to get me. God bless him. God bless him. God bless him. Free him from his arthritis. Free him, Lord, from his bitterness. Free him, oh God. Touch him. Free him from being so overweight he can't hardly walk, Lord. Free him. Set him free, Lord. Set him free. I mean, what has happened to him and to his wife and to his children and his grandchildren, it's just horrible. It's horrible. I won't go into it. But I tried. I tried. And I know that, but you know, I gave it to God. And God is my protector, and I know that God will protect me so that black widow won't jump on me. Okay. Praise you, Lord God. But here it says, agree with your adversary quickly while on the way, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Well, now I tell you, if I had gotten angry and mad at him and I tell you, I'd have been in prison. I mean, some of that stuff could have come on me. Because he done turned me over to whatever adversary he talks to, the judges he talks to, he done turned me over to him. I just thank God that I have a greater in me than he who is in the world. And so you want to get rid of bitterness in your life? Pray for those people who've hurt you. Make it right if it's all possible with your enemies. Don't have any enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. Take them food when they're sick. Carry water for them. And let the love of God flow out of you. And I'm going to tell you, that man ain't a likable person. It's only God's love that flows out of me. I can't do it in the natural. But I've wept for him because God has wept for him. Because God loves him. You know, God loves that man. And God weeps over him. He cares about him. And he wants you to care about him and pray for him. Maybe he might come to salvation. And when it does, it'll set you free. It'll set you free. The Word of God will break those rocks in your heart. Jeremiah said that the Word of God is like a hammer. It breaks the rocks. He said the capstone, when it falls on a rock, will grind it to powder. Bring out the rock of your capstone of Jesus Christ and let it fall on those rocks in your heart. And it'll grind them to powder and make them good soil that they can bear crop.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
You stand before that mountain. Look at the prophet.
Zechariah.
Thank you, Zechariah. He just wouldn't come. Look at the prophet Zechariah.
Now, this marked in the other Bible, I'm afraid, the one that God gave it to me when I was looking at it. I have to. Here it is. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Right up there. Zechariah chapter 6, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel,
not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before the mountain, before Jezreel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the capstone, that's Jesus, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, Brother Frank gave you the prophecy out of Matthew that says, speak to the mountain and say, be cast into the sea, and believe, and it shall happen. Here it says, speak to that mountain, not by your power, but by the Spirit of God, and bring out the capstone of Jesus Christ and shout, grace, grace to it, and become a flat plain. And those rocks in your heart, ground dust in a bare crop, and bitterness and anger and rage will disappear. Unforgiveness is rebellion against God. You all know that. Ephesians 4:31 says it grieves God's Holy Spirit. Let all clamor, anger, rage, bitterness, and evil speaking be put away from you. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. It starts by saying, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Colossians 3:13 and Matthew 18:34 all say that you... that's rebellion against God, and you're going to go to God's jailhouse. What are you rebellion? What bitterness? Rebellion and bitterness? You know what you've got. You know, God's provision for you. You know, you can get, you know. What are some of the things that can cause you to get bitter and rebellious? You know, just little things like God's provision for you. God, why have I got this? Why has he got that good job and making all that money, and I'm down here and I'm sweating and I'm not making as much money? He got a big house, I got a little house. He got a car, a big car, and my car's falling apart. Why come I'm down here straightening out chairs and he's up there preaching? He's got this good-looking woman. God, just look at her. My wife's fat and dumpy looking. His wife just cooks and can manage and make clothes for the kids and everything. And my wife's down here spending all my money. I'm in debt. She's got the credit cards. She's just spending everything. I'm just always in debt. I mean, you can just think of 1,000 things. And I'm sure that I'm coming at it from one perspective. I'm sure that I'm sure Sister Mildred could come from another. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But rebellion also is witchcraft when you try to control your children. Now, there's a line between setting godly limitations on your children so they glorify Jesus Christ and controlling your children for your own benefit. And you control your children for your own benefit through guilt and through money, the two most common ones. You call them, you control them through guilt and money. How many folks know mama that jerks a silver cord and son just pops home? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Or she calls and says she's fainted again. Oh, I'm not well. I just fainted. Oh. And then son jumps in a car and runs over there, calls 911, and got to go by and check on mama 3 times a day. And lots of other ways. Praise you, Lord God. Now, stubbornness, I told you, is idolatry. Stubbornness is idolizing yourself. I'm always right. Idolizing what you want, your way, you want, and not wanting to change. And it's fueled by pride. And those are big rocks. And so, we look at all this. You know, we talked about the coach. I think I've talked about the coach before. You know, Proverbs 17:11 says, an evil messenger, angel, will be sent against those people in rebellion. Now, that's in Proverbs 17:11. Now, in Judges 9:23, I won't go through this, but Abimelech and the men of Shechem, Jobin sent a curse against the men of, and we covered this in curses, and a evil messenger was sent against the men of Shechem. It's called a spirit of ill will. In 1 Samuel 16:14, a distressing spirit from God was sent against Samuel when he went into rebellion. And you say, well, where is it in the New Testament? In Acts 8:9-23, the professional sorcerer Simon's heart was filled with bitterness, poisoned with bitterness, rebellion. And a cruel messenger, the coach, spoke to him and said, offer him money. See if you can buy that gift from Peter. Peter, he's broke. You know, he's traveled down here on faith. He probably doesn't have a good bed to sleep in. Probably doesn't have much food. Only have one friend, you know. Says, offer him a little money. You've got plenty of cash. Offer him a little money for that gift. I said, he's probably vulnerable right now. He's hungry. Got to make a trip back to Jerusalem. He'd like to have a nice donkey to ride on instead of walking. Like to have a little money to stay in the inn rather than sleeping under the tree. Offer him some money. You don't think that could happen? I do. Acts 5:1, Ananias and Sapphira. Satan had filled their heart. They had the evil angel. Acts 16:16-18 was the girl with the divination spirit. Now, you know, Scripture doesn't say she was saved. I always sort of thought she probably was, and it's like Simon and was following behind them. And Satan was going to use her when they left to be the prophetess in the church. And Paul turned around because what she said was true now. They were messengers of the Most High God and showed the way to salvation. And she did it not once, but many days. And Paul turned and threw, caused the demon to come out. And it became obvious that to her owners their living tool was no longer valuable. You see, in slavery, in Roman times, a slave was considered a tool. Just the fact that they were a living tool, like your shovel, or your plow, or anything else that belonged to you. They just happened to be alive. And that tool, this girl, was no longer valuable. Now in 2 Corinthians 7:12, Paul says, an evil messenger was sent to buffet him so that he wouldn't get proud. And I'll leave it at that. I won't comment any further than that. So how do you overcome bitterness? One, you forgive. Forgive your enemies. You decide by an act of your will that you're going to forgive. Number two, you realize that forgiveness means that you give up the right to revenge. You repent, turn from revenge and anger, and pray for them. And as you labor in prayer for them, God will touch you. Now, you break the curse of idolatry. Now, sometimes, I know that y'all probably hadn't done this, but just sometimes when you get into a rebellious situation and somebody has hurt you and you're angry and you're bitter, you decide how you're going to make it better. If you just do this, this, and this, you don't really pray. You just decide you're going to handle it yourself. Have y'all ever done that? The Bible talks about it in Isaiah chapter 30. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Again, it says, woe to rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, devise a covering, but not of my spirit, that they go, may add sin to sin. See, it's sin to do this. They walk down to Egypt, that's the world, and have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, the devil, and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and your trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. So you will be brought to shame and humiliation when you decide to settle it yourself without asking God. Now that devise a covering literally means to weave a spider's web. And so that becomes idolatry. You're idolizing yourself. You're stubborn. You've idolized yourself. You're going to settle it yourself. You don't need God. And you go down to the world. And you wind up talking to a messenger of Satan. And you bring a curse on yourself. Curse of idolatry. And so, you need to break the curse of idolatry from settling it yourself. Trying to settle it yourself and not asking God. And you need to break the soul ties to people who've dominated you and call back your soul. Then you bind and loose the spirits of rejection, rebellion, anger, bitterness, and loose yourself from them. And those are the steps to get free. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to bind these things and tell them to come out. Amen, amen. And for y'all, well, we've been sitting for about an hour, so I think you better stand up and get some blood circulating in your breath. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Meshendio, Meshimbario, Meshatiak, Meshundio, Meshimbario, Meshatiak. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray, people. Hey, dear Lord. I love you. I want to be free. I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. Was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross for my sin. Was buried. Raised from the dead on the third day. For my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Praise you, Lord God. Ever make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am not a rejected child. I am a child of God. I have been accepted into beloved. I have been adopted. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. I break the curses of idolatry. For going my own way. I repent of it as sin. I ask forgiveness. I forgive all those who hurt me in the past. I ask God to bless them and set me free from bitterness, from anger, from rage, from hostility, from deep hurt. And self-pity. I bind these things and loose myself from them. In the name of Jesus, I bind rejection, rebellion, witchcraft, bitterness, stubbornness, and pride, fear, terror. In the name of Jesus, I bind these things and command them to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I forgive everybody I've ever hurt that's hurt me. I ask forgiveness. Lord Jesus, break the ungodly soul ties. To the past. To pain and anger. I call back my soul. And release any foreign soul. In me now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody can sit down. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Put both feet on the floor. Praise your name, Lord. I bind them. looking for something? Let's have a seat. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I bind and break. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rejection. Okay, now your spirit of rejection, I just bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave God's people. All rejection in the name of Jesus. All rejection, I break your power. All rejection, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. All offense, spirits of rejection and offense. Apologize to you, son. All rejection and offense, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Command you to go now in Jesus' name. Leave all fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. I bind you all fear in the name of Jesus. All fear. Go. Go. Fear. Fear all around. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of spiders. Fear of the dark. Come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of poverty. Fear of men. Come out. Fear of women. Come out. Fear of sex. Come out. All fear. I bind you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear spirits be gone in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of fear, of fantasy. Fantasy. Sexual fantasy. Fantasy for money. Fantasy for position. Fantasy for revenge. I break your power. All spirits of revenge. Come out. All spirits of bitterness now. Bitterness and unforgiveness. I break your power. Come out. Bitterness. Root of bitterness, I pull you out. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. Jesus Christ will make the bitter pool sweet. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of bitterness and I pull the root out in the name of Jesus. And I speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus. I speak healing now and restitution to these people in Jesus' name. I break the power of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Rebellion and anger and rage, come out. Come out. Anger, rage, rebellion, and witchcraft. I bind you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Jezebel spirits, I bind you. Jezebel, come out, Jezebel. In the name of Jesus, I break your power, Jezebel. I command you to go. Go, Jezebel, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, Jezebel, in the name of Jesus. Ahab spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I come against the spirits of stubbornness, stubborn self-pride, stubborn pride, religious pride. Come out. I bind the spirits of religious pride. I bind false religious spirits, false anointings, religious spirits, Pharisee spirits, me too spirits, great me spirits. I bind all these religious spirits, all the ecclesiastical spirits in the name of Jesus, all deceiving spirits, seducing spirits. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now. Now, I beg the spirit of perfection in the name of Jesus. Perfectionistic spirits, come out. I'm right spirits, come out. I'm perfect spirits, come out. If I work a little harder, I'll be perfect spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Pride, ego, and vanity come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Anger and rage come out. I bind the spirits of death in the name of Jesus. Of suicide and death in the name of Jesus. I break their power. I break the power of death and suicide and heaviness in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be gone. Leave now. Leave all heaviness spirits, suicide spirits, death spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I bind you and command you to be gone. Stubborn spirits, stubborn and teachable spirits, I bind you. Spirits of stubbornness, unteachableness in the name of Jesus. And I bind you and I break your power. I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Be gone now. Be gone. Leave God's people. Just leave them in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to God's people now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just ask you to reach out and touch these people. I break the spirits of bondage, Lord. Bondage to pain. Bondage to the past. Bondage to hurt. In the name of Jesus. Bondage to deep hurt. Bondage to self-pity. In the name of Jesus. I break evil soul ties to the past. I break the spirits of necromancy in the name of Jesus. Of divination. Come out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of necromancy and divination. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break the evil soul ties to the dead in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. I break your power. I loose God's people from you right now. And I bind the spirit of witchcraft mind control. Witchcraft mind control, I bind you. I isolate you from all of the spirits. You draw no power, authority, meaning of the spirit. You will unloose and come out. I bind the witchcraft spirits that are joined together now and holding hands for power. I break you loose and command that you line up in rank and file and come out. Don't you tear God's people anymore. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, I break your power, and I command you to leave. I come against the serpentine spirits of divination. Divination, I break your power. I come against the spirits of pride, the haughty spirit, in the name of Jesus. Leviathan spirit, I break your power in Jesus' name. The spirits of Leviathan, I break your power. Come out of there, Leviathan. Come out of them. Come out of their backbone. Come out of their neck, in the name of Jesus. I break the spirits of Leviathan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break its power, and I pull him out, in the name of Jesus. We pull him out. We put the hook of the Holy Ghost in his nose, and we yank him out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak fire and destruction to him in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, just touch your people now. Touch your people and fill them, Lord God, with your love. I loose the agape love of God on these people, Lord God. The love of the Father to fill them. Unconditional love to float out all these demons, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I bind the perverse spirits, the spirits of homosexuality in the name of Jesus. The spirits of the flasher, the peeping Tom, the exhibitionist. I break your power, the cross dresser. I break your power. I bind man-hating spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of lesbianism in Jesus' name. Come out. I bind the spirits of fear of sex, fear of intimacy in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of dyspareunia in Jesus' name. And I break your power in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of infertility in Jesus' name, of barrenness in the name of Jesus. You shall not make God's people barren. I bind the witchcraft spirits that would make people barren in the name of Jesus and loosen fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. And be a fruitful vine in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. They shall not be barren in works in the name of Jesus. They shall be able to be a fruitful vine and produce fruit unto God in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord. I just loose it to go forth now. Surely, Lord, you've borne all the infirmities, all their sorrow and all their grief. That's infirmities and pain. You bore all their pain, Lord God, all their sickness. You wounded for their transgressions. You were bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of their peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes at the whipping post, they have healed. I speak healing now to all headaches. I bind the spirit of migraine headaches. I curse migraine to its roots. Migraine, I bind you and I command you to be gone. I curse you to your roots and I pull you out, migraine, in the name of Jesus. I break migraine headaches. I break tension headaches in the name of Jesus. Tension headaches, migraine headaches, vascular headaches. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All headaches. I bind the eyes now. I bind blind eyes. I say be healed, blind eye, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of blindness and I say be healed, blind eyes. Be open in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive vision in Jesus' name. Receive vision. I bind the spirit of glaucoma in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of cataracts in the name of Jesus. And I break the power. I bind the spirit of optic atrophy in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be gone in Jesus' name. And I send forth healing in the name of Jesus. I bind strabismus in Jesus' name. Come out. I bind nearsightedness and farsightedness in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to ears now, to deaf ears. I say, be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of tinnitus in the name of Jesus, of vertigo and labyrinthitis. I bind them and I say, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. I speak to otitis in the name of Jesus Christ, to eustachian tube dysfunction. Come out in the name of Jesus, to hay fever, to allergies. I bind the spirit of allergies. I break the curse of allergies off these people in the curse of asthma in the name of Jesus. I bind bronchospastic diseases. I break prayer. Pneumonia, pulmonary infections in the name of Jesus. Congestion in the lungs. I bind TB in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all lung infections. I bind them. I say be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed by the stripes of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus be healed. I speak healing to the esophagus now in the name of Jesus. To the larynx. I bind the spirit of cancer. I speak healing to the larynx and to the vocal cords in the name of Jesus. To the stomach, to the duodenum in the name of Jesus. To the pancreas in the name of Jesus. I bind them to the liver. I bind hepatitis and gallstone. To the gallbladder in the name of Jesus. To the kidneys in the name of Jesus. Pyelitis, nephritis in the name of Jesus Christ. Urethritis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in Jesus' name. Bladder infection, cystitis in the name of Jesus. Stones in the name of Jesus. Pancreatitis, prostatitis in the name of Jesus. Urethritis in the name. I bind all of you. Proctitis in the name of Jesus. Come out. Crohn's disease. Constipation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of Alzheimer's in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution to God's people. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I speak healing now. I bind the spirit of strokes and heart attacks in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of arteriosclerosis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of myocarditis and pulmonary congestion and heart failure and high blood pressure in the name of Jesus and diabetes and arthritis. Be healed in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord God. Praise your name. Gout. I speak to gout. I bind gout in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to gout. Gout. I break your power. Be gone, gout. In the name of Jesus. I speak healing now to God's people. In the name of Jesus. Healing. 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 In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Heads be healed. Headaches be healed. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Anything I didn't call out?
Thyroid.
Thyroid disease, come out. Graves' disease, come out. Myocarditis, come out. Hashimoto's disease, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Hashimoto disease. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, Hashimoto. In the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power, Hashimoto. Come out in the name of Jesus. Myxedema, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I break the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. Of the vagabond in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, poverty. I break the curse of poverty and call out the spirit of poverty in the name of Jesus. Come out, poverty. I break the curse that gives you the right to give. I break the vagabond curse. Come out, poverty, in the name of Jesus. Speak provision to God's people. Come out of there in the name of Jesus.
Addictions,
bondages, come out. Come out, bondages. We bind the spirit of bondage in Jesus' name. Sorcery, drugs, alcohol, tobacco. Come out. Bondages to sex. Come out. Bondage to perversion in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to God's people now in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear you, child. Varicose veins. I bind the spirit of varicose veins. I speak to those varicose veins. In the name of Jesus. Varicose veins, I speak to you. I say to you, you line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says she's been healed. I speak restitution. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say line up. Edema be gone. Vein valves work properly in the name of Jesus. I say be healed in Jesus' name. You hear me, veins? Be healed, flesh, in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hemorrhoids, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hemorrhoids, be healed in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of hemorrhoids in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of dysmenorrhea in the name of Jesus. Of PMS in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I bind those demons in the name of Jesus. I bind dyslexia in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind learning disabilities. Be gone. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I bind amnesia. I bind the spirit. I break the self-imposed curse over these people that said, Lord, I wish I couldn't remember. I break that curse in the name of Jesus. And I speak to that amnesia spirit that came in when they wished they couldn't remember. And I bind him right now. Wish I could just forget. I bind that spirit. I break that self-imposed curse. And I speak healing to these people now. In the name of Jesus, I healing to their memories. Lord, restore their memories. I bind the spirit of amnesia. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing and restitution now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Dear you people. Dear you people, Lord God. Dear you people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Lord, bless the food now. Bless the food. In the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.